Well, brothers and sisters, we're turning here to Psalm 34, and that's on page 547 in your pew Bible. That's 547, and we'll read this entire psalm. It's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me out of all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to us once again here this evening. Well, brothers and sisters, the one reality about living in New Brunswick, and we love living in New Brunswick, but living where we are, we're prone to get storms and hurricanes. Those hurricanes that come up from the south hit us just as much as they hit those places in the south. And we receive the strong winds and the rain that come with these storms. I mean, we can also lose power during these storms because what happens ultimately? I mean, trees fall on the power lines due to those strong winds. I mean, depending on where you live, of course. And when the trees fall on the power lines, they knock out the power until they're able to repair those lines. Now, imagine, if you will, a tree standing in the midst of the storm. The winds are blowing and howling. The rain is beating down. And due to the strength of the storm, it seems like that tree, again, is going to be uprooted like others. Yet the tree remains steadfast because its roots run deep and they're anchored into the ground. Its branches certainly sway, and the tree can bend, but it does not break. Despite the power of the storm, the tree survives, even thrives, and continues to grow strong. This tree is often like us as Christians, as believers. We face adversity. We live in a very challenging world. We've been praying for the persecuted church, and of course, things are even becoming more difficult for us here in Canada. And there's a reality of struggle in the Christian life and experience. And there's many times when we feel like we're bending from the weight or the power of the adversity that can be against us, but nevertheless, we do not break. And why is that? Because our roots, the roots of our faith, the roots of our life, go deep, and that we're well rooted into Christ. It's Christ who enables us to stand, even though we might face adversity. The psalmist said in Psalm 1, he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in due season. And his leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." It's the Lord who establishes his people. It's the Lord who, in this case, as the psalmist highlights, brings us a stream of flowing water to support the tree so that it might flourish and be fruitful, and it certainly does not wither or die. We are sustained because Christ is the one who is bringing us life by means of his Spirit. We can stand today and even praise God today because of Christ, who's ultimately at work in us. I mean, praise is not just something that we do when times are good and the sun is shining and all is right with the world. No, praise is something we always do in all circumstances. And as we've received grace from the Lord, we find ourselves secure in Christ, like that tree rooted firmly in the ground. Remember, where are you rooted? Where is your faith ultimately rest in? I mean, if we do not have faith in Christ, what hope do we ultimately have? But as we are God's people, we look to the Lord, and I trust that we will look to the Lord once again. He is our strength and our help in every circumstance and time of need. His goodness, his grace is upon his covenant people. That we can even say, with David, "I will bless the Lord." And when do we bless the Lord? At all times. At all times. "And his praise shall continually be in my mouth." That we might boast in the Lord at all times. We might receive the grace and life through Jesus to enable us to do that. To bless the Lord at all times. And if we do this first, we give praise to God who saves us. He's the one who is the salvation of his people. Let us go to this psalm. It says here that this is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. I mean, the background to this psalm, as most commentators believe, it's an incident which is referred to in 1 Samuel 21, where David is forced to flee from Saul. Saul is seeking after David's life. And so David, with a desire to preserve himself, flees to the land of the Philistines to seek asylum with King Achish of the Philistines, the king of Gath. And David certainly must have felt extremely distressed because of Achish and because of the Philistines. He fled there to Gath. Remember, what is Gath well known for? I mean, that's a place where Goliath came from. And it's the Philistine champion that David had killed. So he goes to the hometown of the champion that he had killed. And he's seeking asylum in this place. In fact, just before he fled to Gath, he had received Goliath's sword from Ahimelech, one of the priests of Nob. And so there he is going to the place of his enemy with the sword of the one that he had defeated. And you imagine the impact that must have had upon the Philistines that were living in Gath. If they had seen that sword, it would have been quite upsetting to them. And so while David is there in Gath, because of his fear, he pretends to be a madman. He makes marks in the gates. He allows the saliva, his spittle, to fall from his mouth. He acts like he's crazy, like a madman. And Achish, believing that he is a madman, instead of killing him, drives him away, saying, "Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" And so in God's grace, the Lord preserves David's life, and Achish sends him away. So it's in these circumstances, commentators believe, that David wrote the psalm. He wrote the psalm. David is in a difficult place. He's in fear of his life. He's facing great challenges. But what do we find him doing as he's here in this place? Is he fretting? Is he afraid? I mean, is he doubting God? What is he doing? He's praising. He's praising. "I will bless the Lord. I will praise him. In fact, praise shall continually be in my mouth because I recognize the goodness of the Lord. I'm boasting in him. Congregation, those who see my writing here and hear me, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." You could see that his heart is fixed on God. His assurance, his strength is in the God who watches over him and helps him. I mean, we all have those moments, those seasons, where we feel like we're in a very difficult, uncomfortable place, where our Christian faith is challenged, and we're wondering, "Lord, how are you going to get me through this situation?" Now, this psalm, remember, wasn't written when David was sitting upon his throne, living in comfort and prosperity. It's written when David was in fear for his life. He's actually filled with uncertainty. Will these Philistines kill me? Will I be preserved? In fact, he's on the run from King Saul. It was Saul who also wanted to kill him. In fact, he ends up hiding in a cave. And so he doesn't know what's going to happen in the days and weeks to follow here. But where is his trust? It's in the Lord his God. And he chooses to praise the Lord as opposed to fret about his circumstances. I mean, what can we learn from David's example here? I mean, we need to understand that praise is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not that we just praise the Lord when things are going well, and then we lament when things are not going well. God is going to give us circumstances, and sometimes those circumstances are going to be hard and difficult, and sometimes those circumstances are going to be great and wonderful, and everything's going to fall into place where we expect them to fall into. But no matter what the Lord does daily in our lives, may we always come before him with praise and thanksgiving for his preserving grace and goodness to us. Do not just praise him when life goes well. May you praise him no matter where we are in life, no matter what is happening to us, recognizing that God is always good. I mean, David didn't wait until he was out of the cave and he knew that Saul was no longer seeking for his life, that now he was experiencing safety and security and so on. He has penned this psalm, and he's declaring these things when his life is in peril, and he doesn't know what a day is going to bring forth. I mean, he's praising the Lord in the middle of his storm, and we too can praise God in our uncomfortable places when we're facing the storms of life. I mean, I remind you of the words of Mark 4, where we see Christ with his disciples, and he says to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the sea." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, the other boats there too. But a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking onto the boat, so that the boat was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? We're in the middle of a storm. The waves and the wind, it's going to flood us, and we're going to die here in this place." And what did Jesus do? You remember? I mean, this is a portion that's familiar to you. he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still, peace, be still." And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" They were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I mean, we're going to face all kinds of circumstances in our life, and we recognize that we cannot control our circumstances, but we know the one who does control them, and everything is in his hands, and he is the one who's able to say to the wind and the storm and the rain, and when those circumstances rise up in our life and we're wondering, how are we going to get through this? Lord, do you not know that we're perishing? And he is the one who comes and says, "Peace, be still." But that we might experience that peace in our hearts and our souls, knowing that he does all things well. I don't know your circumstances. Maybe you're going through something right now that's very difficult for you. But there's one who gives you peace, even as you go through your storm. And may we come with that recognition, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless him. I will praise him. In fact, it's going to be continually from my mouth, not just in those times when all is good, but when things are beyond my control." I mean, that word praise is translated from the Hebrew word barak, which means to kneel, right? To bless God is an act of adoration, of worship. I will worship him. Even though he slay me, I worship him because my life is found in him. In fact, he gave his best for me when he gave his son Jesus to die for me. Then is anything able to remove me from his hands? Nothing. And so this word to bless implies a deep reverence and respect for God. Not just to say nice things about him, but to recognize his greatness, his person, who he is, the one who is above all things, filling heaven and earth. And praise is the way we express our love and gratitude for him, that he is the one ultimately preserving our life, as David is recognizing that it's God who's preserving him. See, David chose to bless the Lord rather than to complain about his circumstances or difficulties. I mean, it's very easy to complain when things are not going the way we desire them to go. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, what is better? To choose to complain when things are difficult, or choose to give praise to the Lord despite our difficulties? To focus on the one who rescues us, the one who ultimately is going to supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord grant us that grace to choose to praise him, no matter what uncomfortable place we may find ourselves in. In verse 4, he says, "I sought the Lord," and this is a constant idea, so I am constantly seeking the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And so as we seek the Lord, and we recognize this from the scriptures, that when we seek him with all the heart, he will be found of us, or he will reveal himself to us. Jeremiah speaks of that. And so we come to one who delivers. He delivers. In fact, later in the psalm, he speaks of the same thing. Verse 17, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears," and what does he do? "Delivers them out of all their troubles." I mean, we come to one who is able to deliver us no matter the challenges we face. In fact, in verse 18, who is the Lord near to? The brokenhearted. And I know that you've experienced times where your heart has been broken, that things in your life have been very hard. And it says that he saves the crushed in spirit. I mean, there are all kinds of things that we experience in life that we can feel like our spirit's being crushed And how can I survive this? Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And once again, the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. What's a reference of that to? We see Jesus there on the cross. Right? This is a specific messianic reference to Christ and the fact that when he was on the cross for the sins of his people, not one of his legs were broken. And it reminds us of what he has done for us, for our souls, that we might come to the living God and know and experience what it is to be saved by Christ. And those who hate the righteous, they will be condemned. But he says, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. I mean, Christ has died. Christ has cleansed. Christ has made us righteous. And so as we stand here in Christ, there is none that condemn us. And so we have the fullness of God on our side. Now good is the Lord. I trust that you are constantly seeking the Lord because he is the one who will answer you. What is the need of your heart right now? Will he not come to your rescue and help you? Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. They shine. I mean, they reflect him. They reflect his glory and his person. That's what it says. And their faces are never ashamed. I mean, we're not to be ashamed because we trust in the Lord. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In fact, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. I mean, this is David's testimony. I mean, this is something that as he has experienced trouble in his life, as he fears Saul, as he fears Achish, as he's not quite sure if he's going to make it through the next day. He says, this poor man is crying. I mean, who am I, O God, that can survive the day? And nevertheless, he's able to say with assurance, the Lord heard this poor man when he cried, and the Lord saved this man out of all his troubles. In fact, the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord, remember, can also be a reference to the pre-incarnate Christ. And so Christ, on behalf of his people, and so Christ is encamping or preserving, protecting, watching over those who fear him. And again, we have this word, delivers. I mean, we've had it multiple times throughout the psalm. And so he delivers his people. And may this encourage our own hearts, brothers and sisters, because we recognize that the Son of Man came to seek and to save. Did he not? He saw you. He sought you to save you. And in John 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. They will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so notice he repeats that. No one is able to snatch them out of my hand. They are safe, they are preserved, they are protected. And so the Lord certainly gives us reason for praise. We recognize God and how he watches over us. So I tell you, praise is not dependent on our circumstances, but rather praise is in the one who all circumstances are in his hands, and he will do what is best for us, his covenant people. And then second here, we're to trust in him and then turn from evil. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And so he says, come and experience the Lord. Put the Lord to the test. See that he will pass your test. And what does the Lord have to do to prove himself to you? I mean, have you ever proved the Lord in your life? Have you ever said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to see if this God who I believe and trust is going to come through for me? mean, I can tell you, I can't even count how many times the Lord has come through and answered prayer in my life and in Karen, and as we have endeavored to serve him together. In fact, I remember, and I know I've shared this story with you, that when we felt called to go into full-time ministry service, we wanted the Lord to basically reference two verses in the Bible in two Sundays, and if the Lord was to do that, then we would accept the call to go into ministry. Now, you think of how many verses are in this book, and we asked the Lord to reference two of them, one of the two. Ephesians 6, 20, 21, and unto me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Had to do with preaching, had to do with revealing or teaching the mystery of Christ and the gospel. And I believe the other one was 1 Corinthians 2, 7, and we see the mystery of God. Talks about the mystery of God in that verse. And so our senior pastor, Dr. McClellan, we wanted him to preach either on one of those verses or to reference one of those verses in his sermons. And we gave him 2 weeks. The first Sunday came, did he reference them? No. The second and last Sunday came, in the morning, he did not reference them. And so my wife and I are thinking, that's it. We're not called to the ministry. I actually started to doubt. I'll be honest. And I just thought, it's just not possible. I mean, we set our fleece before the Lord to have the Lord prove himself to us. And you know, when we came to that evening service, it's amazing what happened. Because our pastor, who was planning to preach on something totally unrelated, said, "The Lord touched me this afternoon. The Lord spoke to my heart. And it's the Lord who changed my mind so that I might preach on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And his message was primarily focused on heaven. But what verse did he reference? One of the verses that we had chosen, and we had said, "Lord, if you want to call us into the ministry, then have Dr. McClellan reference this verse." And doesn't he reference that verse? He wasn't even planning to do it. And he referenced the verse. Does God not fulfill his word? Does he not come through for us? Does he not show himself reliable and trustworthy? And I'm sure you have stories you could share too of how the Lord has proved himself to you so that we could always, together we could say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." I mean, we've experienced the Lord in very real and practical ways. That's why our faith, as we consider, you know, the scriptures and what we believe and follow, is not just academic. We don't just have an academic faith, but we have a real and practical faith in a God who meets us where we are. Meets us at the level of our faith and our Christian walk and experience. And the one who leads us and directs us in the way that we need to go, so that ultimately we will trust in him. Did he not prove himself to Gideon? Remember Gideon and his fleece? And the Lord answered him to prove himself to him so that Gideon would be used to deliver the people during his time. How God wants to use you today. Yes, you. And he's going to prove himself to you so that you can serve him. Even here at Mount Zion or wherever the Lord has you to serve in his greater community. But remember, the Lord will give you what you need so that you might serve him and bear much fruit as a fruitful tree. Much fruit for his honor and for his glory. Verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." And so we fear the Lord, we have respect for the Lord, we live in the awareness of God, our desires to obey and follow him, and of course we do so through Christ, But as we put our faith and trust in him, notice the connection here as he says, the young lions suffer want and hunger. I mean, they're in search of food constantly. And unfortunately, there are times when they go hungry. They don't find their prey. And they could go days without finding anything. And so these lions, they suffer want. They suffer hunger because the prey just might not be there for them, or they can't catch the prey for the day. But he says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And so the Lord is saying, I will provide for you. And yes, at times it might be little, just enough. Or it might be in abundance. But nevertheless, I will lack no good thing. And we, of course, recognize the spiritual abundance that we have in Jesus, where he fills our souls with Christ and his glory. And so we lack no good thing. He says, come, O children, listen to me, verse 11, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord then? What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now he directs us in our morality and the fact that we're to keep the law here and to be a godly people. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are toward their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Now, these verses here from 12 to 16 are actually quoted by Peter in Peter's epistle in chapter 3. So 1 Peter 3, 10 to 12. He speaks of these verses. This is the text of his sermon. And so Peter even uses this text. But every person desires to have a good life. I think we all desire to have the good life. But how is it that we're to have that good life? Because it means we have a godly life. A godly life. We're to turn away from evil. That means we turn away from something, we're turning to something. We turn to the Lord. We recognize him in our life. And so the good life is not just living a life of ease or living a life free from problems or living a life that while I receive wealth and I can be pretty comfortable and enjoy the things of this world. No, living the good life is living the godly life that's directed by the Lord our God by means of his Spirit and his Word. If you wish to love and enjoy life, it means you love the Lord your God, because he will do what is absolutely best for you. Turn away from evil. Turn away from speaking deceit, he says. A person who truly turns to the Lord recognizes whatever I say is from the heart. I mean, if our heart is set in God and in Christ, then of course the words we say is a reflection of that. But if we're speaking evil, we're speaking deceit, we're lying and deceiving and so on, what does that say about our hearts? Right? Our hearts are not right before God and before others. But he says to turn away from evil, do good, and seek peace and pursue it. It means I'm seeking Christ, I'm seeking his righteousness, I'm seeking his truth, so I might be established in him, that his life would be in me, because when I have him, I'm able to seek peace, I'm able to pursue peace, to know the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. I mean, the peace that passes our comprehension is not a quality of life that excludes us from stress and strain in our society. It's not being sheltered or to certainly be protected from the things that are happening in our world, not finding ourselves in a cave somewhere where we don't want to deal with the evils of this world. But as one author wrote, the place of peace to which God our Father calls us is that intimate inner acquaintance with himself whereby we come to know assuredly, O Father, you are here and all is well. And there is a man who is walking through the supermarket with a screaming baby, and there's nothing like shopping with a screaming baby. Sure, Many of us here have experienced that. And a woman nearby noticed that time and time again, the man would calmly say, "Keep calm, Albert, keep calm, Albert." Finally, in admiration for the man's patience, as the child continued to scream, the woman walked up to him and said, "Sir, I must commend you on your patience with baby Albert." To which the man replied, "Madam, I'm Albert, not the baby." "Keep calm, Albert, keep calm. I have a screaming child right now. I've got to get this shopping. I've got to get home. My wife is keep calm, Albert." He was talking to himself. And I bet you there are times when you've got to just mutter that to you. Keep calm, Michael, keep calm. It's really difficult right now. Seek peace, seek peace. Pursue it for the good and godly life that God has for you. As he says in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer, to their cry. But the face of the Lord against those who do evil." And so he sees the righteous. He sees the one who controls his tongue, who does not speak evil or deceive people. He sees the one who turns away from that which is evil. He sees the one who seeks peace to pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon his people, upon the righteous, to ultimately to uphold them. I mean, I often think of King Asa and his experience. Remember, he was a godly king. Unfortunately, later in his life, he had turned away from God. But the Lord spoke to Hanani, the prophet, to go to Asa and tell him that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? Are you familiar with that? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong, to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Or the word is shalom there. So those who have made their peace with God. We seek peace. We know peace, God's peace. But the peace of God comes through Christ. And so being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know God's peace because I know God's Son. As I know God's Son, remember, God is the one who's seeking to show himself strong on my behalf. And so the Lord doesn't just tell you to be strong on his behalf. He's actually showing himself strong to be, or I should say, he's showing himself to be strong on your behalf. That he's looking to do that. I mean, we sang tonight, victory in Jesus. Your ultimate victory does not come from you or what you do, but it comes from him and what he's doing in your life, even right now. May we experience that victory day after day after day, to know the Lord who is with us no matter what we're experiencing in life. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears open to their prayer. He does not turn himself away from us. He actually comes to us, delighting to hear and answer the prayers of his people against his saints. I mean, there's more I could say on this psalm. But we recognize at the end of the day, who are we trusting in? Who are we looking to? I mean, it's very easy to become discouraged when things aren't going our way in this world and in this life. And I ask you this question once again, what is better? To choose to just complain when things are difficult, or choose to give praise to the Lord despite the difficulties, to focus on the one who delivers us. Remember, he said, deliver, deliver. I deliver you. I'm with you. I'm never far from you. I'm here with you. I mean, David was experiencing so much calamity in his life. I mean, can you imagine someone who's seeking to kill you, and so you're fleeing, you're running, you're hoping to just make it through another day. And rather than being filled with fear and to complain and to say, well, what's happening here in my life? What are you doing, God? I don't like this. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise Him. I'm going to boast in Him because He is my shelter. He is my safe haven. And I'll survive this day because God is with me. He declared faith in God, and He's encouraging us to have faith in this God as well. Give praise to the one who saves you. Trust in Him. I mean, we're not to live in an evil way in this world, but the peace of God that surpasses understanding is found in Jesus. May we know victory in Him once again, to rejoice in the God who loves us and certainly gave so richly to redeem us, to make us His own. And He gave Christ upon Calvary's cross. Be thankful. Be one who worships, to give praise to the Lord every day that God gives you on this earth. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, as we have considered portions of this psalm, really, truly our hearts are drawn out after You. Lord, we recognize Your goodness. We praise You with thanksgiving. Where'd we be if it were not for the Lord? Father, we recognize that we would ultimately destroy ourselves in sin. But Lord, You're the one who preserves the life of Your servants. You're the one who enables us to come to You with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we're able to make our boast in the Lord because You have come to us. And Father, You've heard us and You've delivered us from all our fears. In fact, how often we've been like the poor man. This poor man cried out. And Lord, You heard from heaven and You saved out of all trouble. Lord, You're the one who camps around those who fear You to deliver them. Father, You proved Yourself over and over and over again to us. May this continue to encourage us as we live life in a broken, sinful world, so that we might be a people set apart unto the Lord. And so show Yourself strong on our behalf. Lord, You came to Asa with that wonderful message. Lord, come also to us with a message of power and strength. Lord, there are many times we feel like that tree facing the storm, bent over, almost about to break. That tree is able to stand because its roots go deep into the ground. Lord, help us to have our roots fixed deep in Christ, so that no matter what storm we face, even though we bend, we don't break, because You're the one who's upholding us. You uphold us with Your hand. Continue to uphold Your people and help us, Lord, daily, so that our trust would ultimately be found in You even this day. So, Lord, go before us in this coming week. Continue to lead us and direct us by the way that we need to go. Guide us with Your eye and help us to bear fruit to the honor and glory of King Jesus. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.